Okay, today's daf is Nun Chet. We're going to start at the bottom of Nun Zayin Amabet. We're up to the words Lamai Hilchata. It's about 15 lines from the bottom. So we had seen that, we'll go a little farther back, Tanu Rabbanan, a few lines before that, Ish. Matam lomer ish ish, right? Why does it say ish ish in the Arayot pasuk? Lerabot et hakutin shemusharin al Arayot ki Yisrael. So then they said they have dina Arayot just like Yisrael. The Bnei Noach. That's what the ish ish. We've seen this before in a bunch of places. Ish ish is also for non-Jews. Then they question, v'hamehacha nafka mehatam nafka. Doesn't it come from the drasha that we saw from the beginning? Lemor ze giloy Arayot, about the pasuk that Hashem vayitzav Hashem et ha'adam, and lemor was a reference to giloy Arayot. So what are the answer? Hatam barayot didhu, v'hacha barayot didan. Okay, dekatane seifa baal arayot Yisrael, nidom b'dinei Yisrael. Okay, so now there's a debate about, there's a difference about whether a non-Jew sleeps with an erva that's a Jew, Jewish erva, or non-Jew. Okay, so now if it's with a non-Jew, then they're judged b'dinei hen. If it's with a Jew, they're judged b'dinei Yisrael. So now the question is, l'ma yilchata, what's the relevance? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua, lo nitzracha ela le'eda ve'edim b'hatra'a. It means that if a non-Jew sleeps with a Jew, that's an erva to him, then we're going to judge it. It's going to need eda, it's going to need 23, it's going to need two edim, it's going to need warning. To which the Gemara responds, migra gara. So if a non-Jew sleeps with a non-Jew that's erva, so we can kill him right, you know, with very minimal evidence. But if he sleeps with a Jew, then we're going to require a higher level of evidence? That seems crazy. Right, it's going to be harder to punish him for it. So Ella, so second option is Amar Rabbi Yochanan lo nitzracha Ella lenara hamurasa. Dilidithu late lehu didanila bedina didan. Okay, so now they aval. One second, right. So now they say nara hamurasa lidithu late lehu. They don't have a halacha about nara hamurasa. Meaning, we talked about this before. Erusin is nothing to them. So, you know, they don't consider that dedicated like we do. So therefore, there's no din of Nara Murasa. So if a non-Jew comes and sleeps with a non-Jew, Jewish Nara Murasa, we're going to judge him in our courts. Okay? As opposed to judging by the laws, as our courts just means by our system of law rather than by the Bnei Noach system of law. Okay? So if a Ben Noach sleeps with a Nara Murasa, who's a Ben Noach, a Ba Noach, then we're going to say basically there's nothing. But if it's a Jewish Nara Murasa, then it's a problem. So then they ask, Didainina Lubedina Didan, Aval Eshet Ish, Bedina Ditu Dainan Lahu. So according to this, you're going to say that you judge them in their judges, for their system. Bedina Didan, Aval Eshet Ish, Bedina Ditu Dainan Lahu. Right? So according to this, what would you assume? So in Eshet Ish, they would judge Bedina Ditu, their courts. V'hatanya, but doesn't it say, now what would it mean in their courts? It would mean you get saif, right? V'hatanya, about a ben noach, there's a braita, ba'al nara murasa nidom b'skila, ba'al eshet ish nidom b'chenek. It says that if a non-Jew sleeps with an eshet ish, they get chenek. V'i b'dina didhu, saifu. And if you say, right, what do we assume? What's the difference between if he sleeps with a Jew? So if a non-Jew sleeps with a Jewish Nara Murasa, he's going to get Skila, Bedina, right, Ardi. That's the only case where, right, a Nara Murasa, that's the exceptional case where he's going to be judged by our courts. But if it's a regular Eshet Ish, it's going to be judged by the Ben Noach courts. Now, what would the Ben Noach courts give him? Saif. But this Braita says that if a non-Jew sleeps with a Jewish Nara Murasa, he gets Skila with an Eshet Ish, Jewish, Nidon Bechenek. So it doesn't seem to match, right? Be ibadina ditu, it should be saif. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, my eshet ish tekatane, what eshet ish are they referring to here? Kigon shenechnesa lechupa velo nevala. It's not a full-fledged eshet ish. It's an eshet ish that's in between an arusa and a nesua. She's gotten chupa, but she hasn't consummated the marriage with her husband. In that case, again, dili ditu leit lehu, didani le bedina didan. They don't have this case, okay? And therefore, since they don't have this case, again, what's it telling you? If a ben noach was to sleep with a bat noach who was nichnasa l'chupa b'lo nivala, what kind of chupa she has, you know,
right, whatever. It's not so relevant. That wouldn't, they wouldn't be chayav. But if it was a Jewish woman who had been nechnesa l'chupa but lo nivala, then the ben noach is going to be chayav chen. That's the case of the eish at ish that gets chenek. But a regular ben noach who sleeps with a regular eish at ish, I would say, right, the ben noach is just anyone, but sleeps with a regular eish at ish, sheniv ala, okay? In other words, a standard case of an eish at ish, then he gets saif. Okay, so this was all just how to explain that brighter, which says that the eish at ish gets chenek. It's not that he gets chenek for a standard eish at ish. He only gets chenek if the Bat Yisrael was nechnesa l'chupa but lo nevala, because then it would go into our court system, right? Our rules. Again, it's not exactly the court system, it's more the rules. Okay, right, you understand? Because in any case, the ben noach is going to be judged in our courts, really. Well, no, I guess not. Right, the idea is that they'll have their own courts and they'll be judged in their own ben noach courts. The idea is that there would be these courts, of, right, which we don't have nowadays, but ben noach courts that would judge people with the ben noach laws.
Were they historical?
It's a good question. I don't know.
I was thinking about the regular court system as opposed to our Batei Din. Like today you would sort of make, I'm sure it's not.
It's true, so. But right, that's not what they're referring to. First of all, no one's giving saif, right?
It's the, I'm sorry, yeah. Go back one second. Yeah. This is all Erva cases?
Yeah, cases? Right now we're talking about Erva.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Right, and therefore, right, so the two Leilu and then Dainina Medina Didan, right, and therefore they're judged in our courts in this case. Ditani Rabbi Chiya, here we're going to have a support for this. Beulat Baal Yesh Lahen, right? They have a case if a woman in Eshet Ish is a Beulat Baal, meaning she's consummated the marriage with her husband, but Nechnesan Lechupa V'lo Nevala Ein Lahem. Okay, there's your proof. Now we're going to have a proof for Rabbi Yochanan, who started out, we started with the question of Lamai Hilchata. We had either Eda Edim and Hatra, and then they said that can't be because then the non-Jew will be judged less harshly. Basically, it'll be harder to punish him if he sleeps with a Jewish woman. So again, what's the case where there's a difference between a Ben Noach who sleeps with a Jewish woman versus a Ben Noach who sleeps with a non-Jewish woman? So they said it must be in the case of an Aram Rasa. And then they said, what about the Eish HaDish case? Oh, well, then it would also include, it would be an Aram Rasa and the case of Nechnesa L'chupa V'lo Nivala. So now going back to Rabbi Yochanan, who brought up that it was the Naram Urasa case, which is the exception here, they're going to bring a brayta to support this. Tanya Kavatei to Rabbi Yochanan. Kol erva shebeitin shel Yisrael mimitin aleha, ben noach mushar aleha. Ein beitin shel Yisrael mimitin aleha, ein ben noach mushar aleha, divrei Rabbi Meir. Before we continue on the brayta, let's just explain Rabbi Meir's shita. We're going to get into it very much so on the next page. We have different mitot that are given to the arayot. There's some that are in the category of mita beitin. That's what they're referring to. Anything that's in the category of mita beitin, the ben noach is mushar. But there's a whole slew of them that are dine kritu. You get karet for them. Okay, like sister, aunt, okay, a bunch of those. You only get karet for them, or only. You get karet for them. But since you get karet, and our courts can't kill you for them, so obviously they're going to say, according to Rabbi Meir, the ben noach courts also can't convict for those things. Which means that a ben noach, not only can they not convict, but ein ben noach mushar alehi. He's not even forbidden to his sister, to his aunt, okay, to all the chayvei kritu in the arayot. That's Rabbi Meir's shita. The chachamim omrim, harbe arayot yesh, she'ein beitin she'yisrael memitin aleihem, uben noach mushar aleihem. There's a whole bunch of those that they don't get mavet for them, but the ben noach is actually commanded that he can't do those. Baal arayot Yisrael, nidom b'dinei Yisrael. Baal arayot ben noach, nidom b'dinei ben noach. Okay, here's our case that we were talking about. The brayta continues. If he sleeps with a Yisrael, then he's judged b'dinei Yisrael. If he sleeps with a ben noach, a bat noach, then he's judged on a bat noach. Ve'anu ein lanu ela na'ara morasa bovad. And what's going to be the case? The na'ara morasa. This shows the brightest support she taught Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara asks, well, if that's, they're saying the only difference is na'ara morasa. But we already said there's two cases. There's na'ara morasa and there's nechnesa l'chupa v'lo nevala. So v'nichshov nami nechnesa l'chupa v'lo nevala. Why don't they mention that case? So they say, because that brayta, hi Tana, Tana de Menashe, who, that brayta goes by the Tana de Menashe, who holds, damar kol mitam ra l'vnei noach, eino elachenek. Okay, in other words, all b'nei noach gets chenek, which means that an eshet ish is going to be the same, right? And then idi v'idi cheneku. One second. Right, so basically it's the exact same laws then, okay, that nechnesal chupa v'lo nevala would get chenek either which way. Just one second. Right, in other words, there would be no difference, because if, what would happen to an eshet ish nivala velo, right, according to that, if she's nivala, the chasal chupa velo nivala, she would be judged by the non-Jewish courts, in which case she get chenek, and if she's the chasal chupa velo nivala, she get judged in the eshet ish by us, and that's also chenek, so it would all be the same. Okay, so now we're going to go back to Rabbi Meir. The Sava Rabbi Meir, kol erva shebetin shesuram emitin alad, v'noch mushar alad. Does Rabbi Meir really hold this? That only the chayvei mito beitin or the ben noach mushar alehem, which means that any chayvei creature of arayot, the ben noach is not mushar. The hatanya, doesn't it say in a brayta, ger shahaita horato shelo b'kdusha v'leidato b'kdusha. Okay, here you have a ger. Some people say that this would be the case in a regular ger case also. I'm not going to get into all the details. But we have a case of a ger that his mother was not Jewish when she became pregnant, when she conceived. But when the ger was born, she had already converted. When the person was born, she had already converted, which means he was born Jewish. Yesh lo she'er ha'em, ve'ein lo she'er ha'av. Okay, but he's like a pseudo, right? He's like in the middle. Okay, and right, Rashi says, v'chol ger she'nitgayer, ke'katan she'nolad. Now, what's the issue here? The issue is that a ger she'nolad, or a ger she'nitgayer, I should say, is like a katan she'nolad, meaning it's as if he was reborn and there's no relatives anymore. So since the mother converted after she had conceived already, she's in theory no longer connected to this baby in terms of a relationship of mother and son. Okay? So now, there's a whole issue here, which is, if you're going to say that a ger she'nitgayer doesn't have dinei arayah, we've learned this in the past, by all his close relatives, because his close relatives, even if the entire family converts, right, they're all not considered related to each other. So, what's the issue? Well, the issue is, the Rashi says it, okay? The whole question is, so there's a machloka, Rabbi Meir, Rabbanan. Rabbanan hold that, mishum shelo yomru, ba'im mikdusha chamura l'kdusha kala, remember this, we don't want people to think that, oh, well, when I was a non-Jew, the laws were more difficult, right? Now it's easier. You might think people might convert so that they can marry their, right, unlikely. But anyway, in other words, to go to being a Jew and then all of a sudden say, oh, well, now you're mutar to everybody, all your relatives, it seems a little crazy. So that's why Chachamim say we're going to be machmir all the way. But Rabbi Meir doesn't hold by that, okay? And therefore, there's a machloka between them. Let's read the machloka. What does he say? Imai tahorato shalom b'dusha v'lei dato b'dusha, or, right, agir she'nitgayer, yesh lo she'er ha'em ve'ein lo she'er ha'av. He only has forbidden relations to his relatives through his mother, but not to his father. We're going to see later where this comes from. Haketzah, which is going to mean what? He retains the Ben Noach stuff. Okay, that's what we're going to see. Maybe I'll already tell you now where this comes from. It comes from Avraham Avinu. When Avraham has this thing with Elimelech, when he goes with Sarah and he says, she's my sister. So he says, "V'gam omna achoti bat avihi." Remember, he says, "What do you mean? She's not your sister." So he said, "Well, really, she is my sister, right? The daughter of my father. Ach lo bat imi, right? She's bat avi. Ach lo bat imi." Why does he say she's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother? Because he's trying to say I was allowed to marry her. Okay, so now if she had been bat imi, I wouldn't have been allowed to marry her. Okay, that's going to be one version. The other version is going to be what? He was just describing the relationship, okay? But you can read this as saying that a ben noach, which is Avram, was a ben noach at that point because there was no toha. So he was trying to say she was allowed to marry me because she wasn't the daughter of my mother. And therefore, all relations go through the mother, which makes sense. Why? Because a ben noach, there's always this concept in halacha that we never really know who the father is. Okay, and therefore, and this even exists within us also a little bit, but therefore, we're going to go by the mother. Like, the mother we know is a krova. The father we don't really know exactly because Kavisha slept with all sorts of people. And therefore, the mother is the definite one. And therefore, we're going to stick with that. So yesh lo shera em ve'en lo shera av. Haketzad, what's the case? Nasa achoto mina em, yotzi. If he marries someone who's the sister from his mother's sister, basically, yotzi, okay? In other words, I'm sorry, no. It's his sister, meaning they share the same mother, not the same father. Min ha'av, all these cases are going to be half siblings or half whatever. Min ha'yotzi, meaning he has to divorce her because it's not allowed. Min ha'av, okay, what does this mean? This means if he converts and he was married to, if he converts and he was married to his sister through his mother, they share a mother. So when he gets becomes a Jew, he has to divorce her. He can't stay married to her anymore. Min ha'av, but if it's his sister through the father, they share the same father, you can stay married to her. Achota av mina'em, yotzi. If he's married to his father's sister, who his father shares the same mother with the sister, right? The maternal, the father's mother's, right? The father shares the same mother with his sister, that aunt, yotzi. Now remember, these are all these cases are chayve kritut, because we're talking about sisters and aunts, which we said are only chayve kritut. Mina'av yekayim. If it's through the father, right, that the father has a sister through his father, they share the same father, then he can stay married. Achot ha'em mina'em yotzi. Again, the same thing on the mother's side, the mother's sister. Through the mother, then he has to divorce her. But achot ha'em mina'av, if the mother and the sister share the same father, then there's a machloket about this one. So if it's through the mother, but the mother's sister is through their father, so it's tricky, because the relationship is through the father. On the other hand, it's through the convert's mother. So therefore, there's a machloket. Rabbi Meir omer yotzi, v'chachamim omer mikayem.
How can the mother's sister be through the father?
The mother and the sister share the same father. It's when the mother and the sister are half-siblings through the father, but yet it's the convert's mother. So in that case, Rabbi Meir is going to say, we're just going to stick across the board with anything that relates to the mother. So we're going to keep it as mother's side problematic. Chachamim say, no, it's not a problem at all. Shaya Rabbi Meir omer, kol erva shehi mishum she'er em, yotzi, mishum she'er av, yekayem. Okay, that's exactly what I just said. Anything, relationship through the mother, we're going to say, no good. Anything, relationship through the father, you can keep. You can stay married. Umutar be'eshet achiv, ube'eshet achi aviv, uvishar kol arayot mutarot lo. Okay, he's allowed to the wife of his brother, ube'eshet achi aviv, and the wife of his father's brother, okay, because these are through the father, ushar kol arayot mutarot, and all other arayot mutarot. So what's this all other arayot? Latuye, what does this come to include? Eshet aviv, even the father's wife is allowed. Nasa isha ubita, okay, we're still in the brightest room, we're going to get to, we'll explain how this contradicts Rabbi Meir. Okay, we're getting a little off topic. Nasa isha ubita, if he was married to a woman and her daughter, kones achad umotzi achad, and then he converts. So what does he do? He marries one, maybe I'm confused actually, I think the earlier case of Yotzi wasn't necessarily if it was before conversion, after conversion. This was the case where if he were married to both of them before he converted and then he converted, so kones achad umotzi achad. He has to remarry, right? Because when you convert, you have to do another marriage. He marries one and divorces one, okay? Or makes sure not to stay married to the other one. Ulechatchila lo yichnos. Okay, but lechatchila, he shouldn't marry, I guess this just means marry both of them, I think. Lechatchila lo yichnos. Right, I guess just both of them. And that is lechatchila. Oh, right, this is all these people. Right, all the cases talked about Yotzi, if he was already married, but now they're saying, lechatchila, he shouldn't marry any of these people. What they're saying is, even the ones through the father, he shouldn't lechatchila do. It's just, what they were talking about earlier is, can you stay married if you did it, or do you have to divorce? So now they're saying, so the rest, lechatchila not. Meita ishto, last part of the braita, if he's married to the isha and her daughter, if meita ishto, oh no, sorry, this is something else. Once his wife dies, okay, if he converted, mutar b'chamoto, he's allowed to marry her mother. V'ika d'amre asur b'chamoto. Some people say no, even if he was married, right, even if his wife dies, he's still never allowed to marry the mother-in-law. Okay. Now, what's the problem with this braita? Okay, we have to go back. So according to what we said, the benoch is mushar on any erva that is not karet, right? It's chiyuv mitapetin. And here it says that it's only, right, that it's from the mother's side, your chayav, not from the father's side, and dafke, it's including ones that are chayve kritu, okay? The sister and the aunt. So now, what are they going to answer? I'm Rav Yehuda Lokash. Oh, there's two problems. The other one is that, one second. Right, sorry. The one of them is that it's karet versus not karet, right? All the ones listed are chayve kritu versus not. And also, according to Rabbi Meir, in the second source, there's a difference between av and aim, which we didn't see in, right? He only says arayot that go through the mother are problematic and not arayot through the father. So now we're going to say lo kashya, ha Rabbi Meir alibet to Rabbi Eliezer, ha Rabbi Meir alibet to Rabbi Akiva. There's two different yishot, one is Rabbi Eliezer, one is Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Meir, who was a student of both of them, in each statement was referring to a different school of thought. Okay, it wasn't necessarily what he thought, it was he brought two different schools of thought. So one is Rabbi Akiva, one is Rabbi Eliezer, and that's how we resolve the contradiction. What's this machloka, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva? Here we go. Ditanya, if you remember, we looked at this pasuk before to show the root of the arayot for Ben Noach, which is Al ken ya'azov ish et aviv ve'et imo, v'davak b'ishto v'hayu l'basar achad. So what are we going to darshan here? We're going to say ya'azov ish et aviv ve'et imo, meaning he leaves his mother and father, meaning he can't sleep with his mother and father. But the question here is going to be, what do we mean when we say mother and father? This is a little similar to when we darshan ervat aviv and ervat imo. What do we mean exactly? So we're going to have Rabbi Akiva, we're going to have Rabbi Eliezer, and has each darshan et aviv ve'et imo. Okay, we're going to have a little back and forth here. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Aviv, I should then be able to switch it. Eliezer's first. Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So, Rabbi Eliezer says, Aviv, Achot Aviv, and Imo, Achot Imo. Okay? Aviv is Achot Aviv, the aunt, and Imo is Achot Imo, the aunt through the mother. Okay? Now that's going to match the Rabbi Kiva of the Braita that we saw, where we're going to include the ants in the Chayve Kritu. Okay? Rabbi Akiva Omer, Aviv is Eshet Aviv, which is Mitapetin, and Imo is Imo Mamash, which is Mitapetin. And that's going to match the first Rabbi Meir we saw, that it's only when it's Mitapetin. And if he thinks it's Eshet Aviv, and the other one is Imo, right, then we're going to say that it's only Chayve Mitapetin, and it's not going to include the next of kin, which is the aunt, right, the siblings of those. Okay, so now we're going to have a little back and forth, where each one gets it from, why he doesn't hold like the other, etc. Rabbi Akiva, okay, Vidavak, before we get there, we're going to have some more drashot on this pasuk. Vidavak b'ishto, which means, meaning, what does it mean, they can create children that are, right, basically a combination of the two. So what is that lema'et? V'loba zachar, and not mishkav zachor. Okay, meaning mishkav zachor is forbidden. B'ishto v'lo b'eshet chavero. Right? V'davak b'ishto, only ishto. But not, you're not allowed to marry anyone else's wife. Eshet ish. V'ayu l'basar achad. Mi she'nasim basar achad, yatzu behema v'chaya she'ein nasim basar achad. Okay? Also, we're going to exclude the behema and chaya because you can't create children with that. Amar mar. Rabbi Eliezer, so now we're going to go into this breiter. Rabbi Eliezer omer aviv achot aviv. Ema, why? Now we're going to basically go through Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva and say, why didn't they say something else, okay? And if it says Aviv, why did he assume Aviv meant Achor Aviv? Why didn't he assume Aviv meant Aviv Mamash? Meaning, Mishkav Zachor of his father, right? Homosexual relations with his father. So he said, well, you don't need that because Hainu V'Tavak V'Lov Zachar. You already learned that Mishkav Zachor is forbidden from later in the Pasuk, so you don't need to say you can't sleep with your father because we already know because of homosexuality, it's already forbidden, so obviously you don't need to say it about your father. If not, though, what would be the next obvious if it's your father? What did we, when we darshan Ervat Aviv, it was either homosexual relations with your father or what was it? Eshet Aviv, right? We didn't jump right away to Achot Aviv, so why don't we jump to Ema Eshet Aviv? So they say, Hainu b'ishto v'lo b'eshet chavero. But his wife, your father's wife, is already included in the other drashav, not someone who's married to somebody, right? Esha chavero, that would be included. Ema la'achar mita, but maybe it would be esha tishto even after your father dies. Maybe he'd be chayav on that. So what do they answer? Dumia de'imo. Ma'imo de'lav ishut. Af aviv de'lav ishut. So then they say, well, we want to make aviv v'imo parallel. So since, if we would say that aviv is eshet aviv after the father dies, then there's no parallel by the mother. Because we don't talk, right? It's not forbidden to marry your mother's husband, because that's already forbidden mishum mishkav zachor, right? Homosexual relations. So therefore, to sleep with, not to marry, but whatever, to sleep with. But anyway, we're going to basically say, he wanted to make the first and the second one parallel. And this works very well, achot aviv and achot imo, which we're going to see. Rabbi Akiva, we're going to have to question. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have a parallel. He says, aviv is eshet aviv, and imo is imo mamash. Mm-hmm. They're not parallel. But Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to say, he wanted to keep it parallel, and that's why he did it that way. Okay, imo, right? Delavi shoot means it's the mother herself and not someone who's in a relationship with her. Imo, so now we're going to talk about, okay, so why did he darshan imo as achot imo? Achot imo, ve'ema imo mamash. Why don't you say it's actually his mother? Hainu bi'ishto velo be'esha chavero. But his mother is already married to somebody else, right? She's eshet somebody. Again, that's assuming she's married. So the Gemara is going to suggest ve'em alachar mita, maybe once her husband's dead. So then you would say, oh, I can marry my mother because she's not married to anyone else. So maybe you needed to tell you that. So what did they say again? Dumia de aviv. Ma aviv de lav mamash. Afimo de lav mamash. Once we said that aviv can't be aviv himself, because that's already included in homosexual relations later in the pasuk, then imo can't be imo mamash. And that's his answer, basically. He could have said it was imo, but he didn't want to because imo, you know, he wanted it to be parallel. That was all why he got to. So then after you're left with, right, we're going to go to the next of kin. It's not aviv and imo mamash. It's not the eshet aviv. The only option left is to say it's achot aviv or achot imo, right? The one who's closest to those people. Now Rabbi Akiva Omer. Aviv, eshet aviv. So now we're going to say, according to him, ve'ema aviv mamash. So we know why it's not aviv mamash. Haynu v'davak, v'lo b'zachar. Ihachi, eshet aviv nami. Haynu b'ishto, v'lo b'eshet chavero. But eshet aviv, we should be able to learn out from eshet re'ehu, just like we said with Rabbi Eliezer. So how can he learn it's eshet aviv? So what do they say? La'achar mita. It must be la'achar mita. And then they don't suggest that that's a problem. They say, ah, it must be la'achar mita. Remember, what was Rabbi Lezer's problem with la'achar mita? He wanted everything to be parallel. But Rabbi Kiva obviously didn't care if aviv and imo were parallel. Even though they're parallel in the pasuk, for drasha purposes, he didn't bother him that they weren't parallel. So basically, we're now going to say that when Rabbi Kiva says aviv is esh aviv, he means esh aviv la'achar mita. After the father's already dead, it's still a rayo to sleep with someone who is married to your father. Okay. Imo, imo mamash. So now, again, if it's the mother, haynu b'ishto, v'lo b'eshet chavero. We already learned it out from your father's wife. So what do they answer? Or she's married to somebody, even if it's not your father, she's married to somebody. So what are they going to answer? Imo me'anusato. It could be your mother who is raped. Meaning, if she, even though she's not married to anybody, you still can't sleep with her. You know, she wasn't even married then. What's the root of their machloket? Rabbi Eliezer savar aviv dumia diimo viimo dumia daviv lo mishkachala ela be'achva. Rabbi Eliezer was motivated, this is what we've been saying all along, by trying to keep a sense of parallelism in the pasuk. And since there's no other parallel case between aviv and imo, because again, we're talking about, like we said yesterday, it's all male focus, the man. So the man can sleep with his father, he can't sleep with his mother. Well, there's no parallel there, right? Because again, the father can't be the father, because we learned that from a different pasuk. So since he wanted to keep it parallel, the only way to find a parallel case is achot aviv and achot imo. V'Rabbi Akiva, mutav l'ukma be'eshet aviv, de'ikre ervat aviv. La'fuke achot aviv, de'she'er aviv ikre. Ervat aviv lo ikri. In the psukim, when it talks about the relationships, it talks about, when it comes to the father and his wife, it talks about in the lashon of erva. That's what we saw, that whole pasuk about the erva. But when it talks about the sister, the father's sister, it talks about it as she'er. And she'er sounds less, right? It's because she's a close relation of the father. That's not the same as erva, right? So you can imagine, right? Sleeping with an aunt is not the same level of disgrace of your father than sleeping with his wife. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, I'd rather go with the erva rather than the she'er. Okay, and that was what motivated him, and therefore he didn't care about the lack of parallelism in the pasuk. Now we're going to bring a question on Rabbi Eliezer and then two questions on Rabbi Akiva from different sources. Tashma, Vayikach Amram et Yocheved Dodato. Amram marries Yocheved, his aunt. Okay, so it says in the pasuk. Right? You don't really think about it often, but Yocheved is aunt. My love, Dodato min ha'em. Is it not his doda from his mother's side? In which case, how could he have married her? Right, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says that from the aim is a problem. So they say, lo doda tomina av. Now it means his aunt through the father. Okay, they were related through the father, not through the mother. Okay, whether you say cousin or aunt, either which way, right? Because my cousin maybe is too distant. But right, that's what they're answering right now. They would be from the av. Okay, tashma, now questions on Rabbi Akiva. V'gam amna achoti bat avihi, ach lo bat imi. So now what do you learn from this pasuk? I mentioned this before. This is with Avram when he explains the relationship. And he says, she's not bat imi, michlal debata em asura. Right? His point was to say that if she were married to me through my mother, if she were related to me through my mother, then it would be forbidden, which sounds like Rabbi Lezer Shita, not Rabbi Akiva Shita. V'tizbera, do you think achoto havai? But he says, achoti bat avi. Is she really his achot, bat achiv, havai? Achoti, bat achiv, havai. She was the daughter of his brother. V'kevan dehachihu, loshna mina av, loshna mina aim, sharia. Okay, in other words, since she was his niece, right, then already it wasn't forbidden to him either from the mother or from the father. So therefore, the pasuk can't be meaning... Okay, can't be meaning what we thought it meant, because it's not discussing a forbidden relationship in any case, whether it's from the mother or from the father. Therefore, elahatam hachi kamerle, kurva da'achvat idli bahada me'aba velo mi'ima. He was just describing the relationship between them. He was saying, I have a relationship through the father, but not through the mother. In other words, he was just saying how they're related, but he wasn't saying anything that had to do with Easter or Ayot for him or for Bnei Noach for those intents and purposes. Tashma, next source. Mipnei ma lo nasa Adam et bito. Okay, why didn't Adam Arishon marry his daughter? Right? You ever think about this? Yeah. How on earth could they do puruvu, right? Because so there's Adam and Chava, right? But then what happened? Yeah. This is based on the fact that Chava was supposed to have died in Chet Eitz Hadat, in which case Adam would have been left alone and wouldn't have had anyone to marry except for his own daughter. So the assumption is that God didn't allow Chava, didn't punish Chava with death so that Adam would have someone to be with. Okay? Now the assumption here is that he could have been with the daughter, in theory. Okay?
Is there a daughter mentioned?
Is there a daughter mentioned? No.
That's
a
different theory.
It was all in order to enable, right? Why, right, if he had married the daughter, well, there would have been nobody left for Cain. That's what we have to assume, there was a daughter, because if there was no daughter, how would anyone procreate? Okay, so therefore, we're going to say that's why Adam lo nasa et bito, which is really saying, at least the way the Mefarshim would explain it, that why Chava was not killed so that Adam would have someone to be with and not his daughter, in order to enable his daughter to marry Cain, his sister, Shenemar, ki amarti olam chesed yibaneh. The world was built on chesed. It was the chesed of Adam, or maybe the chesed of Hashem that didn't kill Chavar, the chesed of Adam that didn't marry his daughter to allow his son, enable his son to have someone to marry. Halav hachi asira. Were not for that, it would have been forbidden. Okay? So, in other words, it sounds like otherwise, one second, just get it totally straight. Right, it sounds like if it weren't for this reason, it would have been forbidden for Cain to marry his sister. So what does it sound like according to this? That's basically, Cain was allowed to marry his sister because there was no other choice, right? The Olam had to be built on this, and therefore it would have been forbidden to him. And therefore, what do you see here? Only for Cain it was allowed to marry his sister. but not for anybody else. That's what they're assuming this source teaches us. So now the Gemara answers, no. Kevan de ishtere, ishtere. Since the sister was allowed to Kayin to marry, that, in theory, maybe sisters would have been forbidden, but since Kayin was permitted to marry his sister, it became permitted for all B'nai Noach to marry their sisters, which again matches Rabbi Akiva's Shita, which was sisters are only Chayvei Kritut, and only ones that you get mitot beitin are B'nai Noach Muzhar Alehem. Amar Rav Huna, Kuti Mutar Bebito. Okay, so now, again, we're going to see the same source, but a little bit different. Now we're going to say a non-Jew is allowed to marry his daughter. And if you want to say, well, then why didn't Adam HaRishon marry his daughter? The answer is, okay, again, they're saying, they're twisting the source around to show, that's how it showed that Akuti would, in theory, be allowed to marry the daughter, because the only reason he didn't marry his daughter was to enable Kayin to marry his sister. The Kadamra, and some people view the source differently. Amrafuna, Kuti Asur Bibito. Okay, that really Kuti can't marry his daughter. Teda, you should know, Shalona Sa Adamit Bito. And how do we know that Kuti can't marry his daughter? Because look, Adam HaRishon didn't marry his daughter. And again, what are they saying? It's not just that he didn't marry his daughter, it's that Hashem didn't enable Chava to die, right? He didn't punish Chava with death in order that Adam wouldn't have to have no one to marry except his daughter. And then it's saying, there's your proof that he can't marry his daughter because that's why God enabled Chava to live longer. So they say, Velohi, but that's not actually a proof because, again, we're going to say our same thing. Hatam hainu tama kadesh yisa kayin et achoto mishum do'olam chesed yibane. Right? The only reason why God didn't let Adam marry his daughter was not because he couldn't marry his daughter. He, in theory, could have, but it would have left nobody for Kayin to have married. Interesting, they don't talk about Hevel, right? Who did Hevel marry? I don't know enough maybe about who they married. And
maybe he died before
he got married.
He died before he got married. Oh, that's probably right. Does he not have any tzedzeim? I don't remember the details. Could be he doesn't. I don't remember. Okay. Have to look that up. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda. Eved mutar b'imo u'mutar b'bito. Okay, now we have an Eved. An Eved, this is talking about an Eved Kanani. Now, what did we say before? Somebody converts, what's the concern? We don't want to say, oh, you're no longer married to all your old relatives because, in theory, you really aren't. So, therefore, you can marry them. But we don't want to say, oh, you moved from Kedusha Chamurah to Kedusha Kalah. Things that were forbidden to you as a Ben Noach, all of a sudden, Mutar to you as a Yisrael. That's not a good thing. So, therefore, we say you're forbidden to them. But an Eved, what's an Eved? An Eved Knani, who does a pseudo-conversion, right? Now, I forgot to say, one of the other concerns about a ger is that somebody, and particularly, I forgot to mention this in the beginning, the ger that was horato shelo b'kedusha, he was conceived when he was not Jewish, but his mother converted before he was born. There's a concern that people are going to think they're Jews, right? Not everybody knows who a ger is, and if they see this guy marrying someone who is forbidden, they'll think that it's okay for them also. But with an eved, none of these concerns exist. Because an Eved is in his own category. No one's going to learn from an Eved and say, oh, everybody knows who an Eved Knani is. He's living in the Jew's house. He gets a Brit Milah. He's Tovel. So he's a pseudo-convert. He has certain mitzvot upon him, right? But he's Pator from all mitzvot as Shazman Grama, like women. And he's in a different category. So therefore, he's Mutar B'Imo, Mutar B'Bito. These Arayot don't apply to him because, again, they're not related to him at all. Because when he converts, he's no longer connected with his old family. And there's no concern anyone's going to confuse him with a Jew. Yatsa michlal kuti, in other words, he's no longer a non-Jew, so therefore he's no longer related to all those people. Ulechlal Yisrael lo ba, but he didn't actually become a Jew. So therefore we're not worried that people will say, oh, he's a Jew and he could do it, and therefore we could do it also. Ki ata Rav Dimi, amar Rabbi Elazar, amar Rabbi Chanina, ben Noach sheyichet shivcha la'avdo uba aleha, neherag aleha. We saw this before, ben Noach, that designates a shivcha for his Eved, and then sleeps with her, he gets killed. Me'emat, from what point is it considered that the shivcha is miyuchad to this eved? Amrav Nachman, midikarule revuta deplanya. This is such an interesting one. When people start calling this shivcha, she goes with that guy. Once they start saying that, then it's considered that she's miyuchad. Now, he designates the shivcha for that eved, but until people start talking about it and call her in connection with that Eved, that's when it's considered the Rebuta de Planya. Me'emata tarata, when does she get, is she considered, right, there's no real marriage, so when is she considered no longer, let's say, right, they're no longer together. So how do you measure that without a divorce? Amrav Huna, Misha Par'a Rosh Abashuk. Here we get to a very interesting source, okay? Before we explain this, I want to just go back for 1 minute. There's a machloket, a really interesting machloket here. On what basis is this forbidden? What does this come under? Which category? Okay? It's not really a rayo because there's no eshet ish when it comes to an eved and a shibcha. They're not considered married by law. So, Rashi says it's mishum gezel, because you're stealing someone who belongs to somebody else. Okay, if you go back to Kiddushin and Isha Niknet, and there's some sort of kinyan. So basically, it's like stealing the shibcha from the Eved. That's Rashi, and it's not ni'uf. But the Rambam and the Ran say it is mishum eshedish, because there's, even though it's not technically eshedish, they're considered together. And it goes better with the Parara Shabashuk. Okay, now what does this mean? So first of all, this seems to imply that covering your hair was something that was done by anybody who was married in those days or designated to somebody. Okay? Misha Parava Shabashuk, there's two interpretations. Either she no longer covers her hair, okay, which would be an indicator that she's no longer married. Right, so those who want to view Priyat Rosh, Kisoy Rosh as a historical, here's a great proof that this, even the Evan, you know, the Shifcha would walk around when she was just designated to an Evan, there was no real Ishut, which was considered. And the second interpretation is that they reveal that her husband pulls off her hair in the shuk, and that that's like a sign of that without a divorce document, okay, that it was the pulling off of the hair.
Okay, the covering.
Of the covering, sorry. I was getting tired at the end of shir. Pulling off of her hair covering in the shuk, and that that was a sign of not being married. And then you would have to say like this. When it's a Jew to a Jew related, right? So there's Kiddushin and there's Gerushin. When it's a non-Jew, so how do you view marriage? Right? So it's when they sleep together, L'shem Ishut, okay? Just sleeping together, L'shem Ishut, like for the purpose of getting married, we consider them married. And how do they get divorced? When he sends her out of the house, like it says in the Torah, right? V'shalchami beito. But without a get kritu, because they don't write gitin. So that would be the divorce. And then she would no longer be considered an eshet ish. And with this shivcha, it's this other thing, which is basically, right, people start saying that they're connected after the, first you need the adon to give the shivcha to the eved, and then people start talking about it. That's considered marriage. And divorce is considered when either he reveals her hair, again, whether it's a hat or whether her hair was tied together, it's also not clear, but he would undo her hair or undo her hat in public, or she would just stop covering her hair somehow or stop bundling her hair together or however you understand that. Anyway, it's a very interesting source in the context of Kisoy Rosh in general. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. This is the same person, so now we're having another statement he makes. Benoch Shabbal Ishto Shelo Kedarka Chayav. If you sleep with your wife, not Kedarka, okay, right, that's anal intercourse, is Chayav. Shenemar V'davak V'lo Shelo Kedarka. So this is a crazy source. If you have anal intercourse with your wife, that's asur mishum b'nei noach. Okay? Because it says v'davak b'ishto, right? V'davak v'lo shelo kedarka. Only in that kind of way. Amarava, mi'ika midi d'Yisrael l'machayev v'kuti b'chayev. But a Jew is not forbidden to have anal intercourse with his wife. He wouldn't be chayav. You wouldn't convict him if he did that. So and you're going to make a non-Jew chayav for this? So therefore, it can't possibly be. Al amarava, it's ben noach shabal eshet chaveiro shelo kedarka patur. It's so many different things than what he said. It's a ben noach that sleeps with his friend's wife through anal intercourse and not regular intercourse is not chayav. Okay, it's like everything flipped differently. My taima bishto velo eshet chaveiro v'davak velo shelo kedarka. Okay, so they say ishto, not your friend's wife, and v'davak velo shelo kedarka. It has to be with your friend's wife in a way that you would davak bishto, but you do it with someone else, which would be regular intercourse. Amar Rabbi Chanina, ovei kochavim shehika et Yisrael chayav mita. This is also an interesting one. And ovei kochavim who hits Yisrael is chayav mita. Shenemar, how do we know this? Vayich ben chov achov ayarki en ish, vayach et ha-mitzri. Moshe killed the Mitzri. Again, pre-matan Torah. He kills the Mitzri for, because the Mitzri was hitting the Jew. Amar Rabbi Chanina, ha-soter lo oshel Yisrael ki ilu soter lo oshel shechina. Someone who slaps someone in the face is as if he's slapping the shechina. Shneamar mokesh adam yala kodesh. Okay, which means, okay, the pshat of this pasuk is that basically one who gets trapped up in sin destroys his holiness. Mokesh Adam, Yala Kodesh, will lose his holiness. But they explained it as Mokesh Adam, someone who hits a person, Yala Kodesh. It's as if he's slapping God. Yala Milashan, to slap. So now the question is, what does this have to do with, and there's two questions here. What about a Nechushi Ka Yisrael? What's the problem with that? Where does that fall under the context? So the Ran explains that it's like Gezel. Because stealing from someone, right? We talked in Baba Kama, there was Gzela and then there was Chabala, right? Stealing and hitting. Hitting is like Me'ain stealing. You're basically taking something away from a person. You're hitting their body. So it's like that and even more Kashen, therefore you get killed from there. It's an outgrowth of Gzela. And then the slapping someone in the face, they say when you slap someone in the face, it's an insult also to, like it's a pgi'ah to his soul. And in his neshama is a tzelem Elokim. And therefore, slapping someone is like slapping Elokim. And then, by the way, if you say, notice it said in Achwishe Ka Yisrael, if you go with the Ran who says that it's like Gezel, so then it would be also... That either you view this as a new thing, he's saying, in addition, Nechushi Ka Yisrael is Chayav, and it's another one of the seven that we had yesterday, you know, seven or three or however many have. It's another thing. Or it's just part of Gezel, and if you say it's just part of Gezel and it's not a new thing, then it wouldn't just be Nechushi Ka Yisrael, it would be Nechushi Ka Nechri. It would be anybody who hits anybody, right? A Nechri that hits anybody, not just Yisrael. For whatever reason, you worded it Yisrael, maybe it's relating to us, but it's really a Nechri who hits anybody is also part of the Sheva Mitzvot, or the Mitzvot B'nei Noach. We have to stop calling them now the Sheva Mitzvot because not so clear that they're Sheva. Okay, stop here for today.